Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL. This is EYL Sports Edition.
Yeah.
Something that I'm definitely looking forward to for a long time. So I'm glad we got a chance to make this happen. So me, I'm the kind of person, I'm on Instagram all day, every day, and I find a variety of different things. So I found Lethal Shooter a couple years ago, I think. I don't even know how I originally found you, but I seen this dude doing trick shots off of rims with nails on
popping
it.
Popping basketballs.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So I was following his journey. The athletic part is dope. We're going to talk about that. But what I really, you know, took was just the marketing and the business side of it. I'm like, oh, this is dope. This is somebody that's actually building a brand for himself on social media, using his talent, and just creating a buzz. He's training celebrities Little Yachty.
No. I mean, not just training them, but turning them into ball players. Like,
right.
Saw
some
Drake.
Some of them, we saw
Drake before he met you. Yeah. It was a lot different.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You got a lot to do with I guess, his championships in his own house.
he won a lot of chips in that house.
Yeah. So you've turned into a celebrity trainer. You got a documentary out. I said, you work with a bunch of entertainers. You flew overseas a variety of different times. You give speeches. So this is a dope conversation from the athletic standpoint, but also from the business standpoint and the branding standpoint. So I'm sure a lot of people will gain a lot of value from this. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate
man, thank you for having me, man.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Yep. It's Chris Matthews or is it Lethal Shooter?
Chris Matthews, Coach Chris Matthews, Lethal Shooter, both.
Perfect. Yeah.
So let's talk about how this starts. So you're from District of Columbia,
right?
Shout out to DC, and you faced adversity early, mm-hmm. right? I believe both of your parents passed away.
No, my biological, I didn't grow up with my biological parents. My biological mom is still alive.
Okay. And then this turns into a basketball journey. Mm-hmm. So how? Because during that time, 90s. DC crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people fell victim, went to jail. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of your friends that you grew up with went to jail dead or just didn't make it out. How were you able to navigate that at such a young age, facing adversity, and then end up on the basketball route?
Yeah, just long story short, you know, I didn't grow up with my biological parents. My cousins, you know, they took me out of a home. There was stuff going on in the house that I shouldn't have been around as a young man. You know what I mean? So when my cousin took me out of their home, a lot of people know I grew up in D.C., but I grew up in the roughest neighborhoods. I grew up around Langdon Park. I grew up around Kennedy. I grew up around Bennett Park. But every situation where it's housing authority, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
projects.
Yeah, basically in Washington, D.C. So I feel like those type of situations molded me for all the tough things that I had to go through in life. You know, I feel like I'm not trying to say I want people to grow up in those type of situations, but I do think it molds you for life if you use it for the right advantage. And I feel like all the situations that I've been in, I've been saved by basketball. Like I say in my documentary, if it wasn't for basketball, I would have been in trouble because the stuff that I was into, you know, I'm not saying it was cool, but it's what I had to do to survive. So I was very good at handling myself in situations that I needed to handle myself because how I was taught by different family members, if that makes sense. But the thing about my other friends and my other family members, they didn't have basketball as an outlet to leave for AAU or go to college and do certain stuff. So they already around the way. So that's why a lot of my friends did die and a lot of my friends are in jail and a lot of my family members are in jail or just getting out of jail because the law that Obama passed a few years back. So it's just to see everything that's happening right now is definitely a dream come true because I definitely could have fell victim to my circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the dream initially, I'm sure, was to make it to the NBA.
Right.
You got out of high school, go to college, St. Bonaventure.
What high school did you go to?
I went to National Christian Academy.
I was going to say, was it DeMatha?
No, I went to
National Christian. That's where Dante went to.
He did.
That's in Maryland.
That's his last name.
Dante Taylor.
Yeah, I know Dante. Yeah. He went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I know Dante.
From Dante. Okay, wow. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't play together, but I know him.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, the dream was to go to the NBA, but it got deferred, obviously. During that process of going through your collegiate career, what happened there, right? Because at a certain point, you realize, like, the NBA is probably not going to be for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's due to injuries. Maybe it's like, you know what? I'm not the star of this team. What's this like for you at this time?
Yeah, just basically out of high school, you know, and shout out to the New York players. You know, Jesse Sapp was my point guard. He was my point guard at National Christian. And he's kind of the reason why I was breaking all those high school records. So, but long story short, you know, coming out of college, you know, my senior year, I was number one in Atlantic 10 in threes made. I was top seven in the nation in threes made. And I really thought I was going to make it to the NBA, but I didn't make it. But the one thing that my stepfather, which is my dad, that, you know, always taught me is, you know, the main goal is to be the first person in our family to get a diploma. So that was my biggest accomplishment. That was like making the NBA because I wanted to try to break like that generational curse, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short, when I didn't make the NBA, it's not like I was just like depressed, if that makes sense. So I'll just go overseas. I mean, was I hurt a little bit? Yes. But I was like, I'll just go overseas. So I went to France. I got hurt. I went to China, got hurt, went to Russia, got hurt, went to South America, got hurt, but I'm still chasing this goal because you know where we from. Like, you gotta make it, man. You're a neighborhood superstar.
Can't come back home.
Yeah. So, you know, I played in the G League. I wasn't patient. My coaches told me, don't leave for Mexico because Blake Ahern's gonna get a call up in a fuse. But I'm like, man, I gotta get this money. You know what I mean? So I went to go play in Mexico. As soon as I left, Blake Ahern gets a call up. You know what I mean? So I just feel like all those learning curves and all those failures and all those injuries definitely mold me to understand in life, you got to be patient. And at first, I wasn't as patient, you know what I mean? Because I just wanted stuff so fast. And the one thing everybody has to understand about life, especially if you want to be successful, when you do fail and when adversity does hit, you got to like log it in the back of your head and use it for the next situation, if that makes sense. Like a good situation is like, I remember the first time I came to New York, I wasn't moving right. And I felt like, hold up, I might get robbed. So I saw how the dude was moving. So now when I come to New York, I know how to move. Right. So long story short, you got to use every situation for your next situation. So every situation I use to fail, I've never made that mistake twice, ever. Like never again. And that's why I feel like I am where I am today, because failure has molded me.
So the overseas, anybody that's played ball, you know, the overseas grind is a tough grind.
Yeah.
It's like you're away from your family. You go into a lot of different leagues every year. It's a different country.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're not even making that much money.
Yeah.
And it's something that it burns a lot of people out. And, you know, it's kind of like a lot of people don't really ever find their path in life. Because, like, you come home, you're, like, in your 30s. You never really worked a job. Mm-hmm. You don't have a family. Trying to just coach here and there. Mm-hmm. So at what point do you say, all right, my basketball career is not going to happen, but I'm going to be a – I don't want to – would you prefer a trainer? Like, at what title?
Yeah, so I mean, my whole life is training. So last season I was blessed to help the Bucks, the Magic, the Celtics, the Sacramento Kings, but unfortunately I'm really good with doing content. So I'll say trainer.
All right. So how do you get into the trainer bag?
Yeah, so when I came home, like you said, man, I was like 30. So the one thing, when you come home, it's like you're fresh out of jail. When you come from overseas,
you got your gym bag.
Yeah. The whole neighborhood. No. Seriously, because you come home in the summer, but it's like, you know, you come and play in a few summer leagues, then you gone for like that long haul.
Yeah.
So when I made the decision after my injury in South America, I was just like, man, I'm done. I'm about to go home and try to figure out something. So I became a school teacher, bro. I was at Kneewood Academy. I was a teacher's assistant. I was a custodian. I'm doing all type of, I don't want to say wild stuff because those are great jobs.
Nah,
I was getting
real,
good money.
But I know people that do the same thing.
Yeah, but the thing I'm saying is I feel like with us, is especially as African Americans, when we don't make it in basketball, it's like we'd be afraid to get other jobs. Like, it's nothing wrong with getting those type of jobs. That's why I post pictures when I was like, bro, I used to sell Sierra Mist sodas. Like, you get where I'm coming from? But I'm willing to do whatever it do, because I know if I don't and I do the stuff that respectfully my family members did and my cousins did and my best friends did, I'm gonna be in jail. If I'm not in jail, I'm gonna be looking over my back every day. You get what I mean? So I'm willing to get a job or do something like that. So don't be afraid if you're watching this and you play sports and sports don't work, to get a regular job and then use that to continue on the back end to learn your other craft to try to be successful. You know what I mean? But what happened was, His name, John Thompson at Georgetown.
The father.
Rest in peace.
Okay, rest in peace.
We was in the gym working out, me, Jeff Green, Bobby Mays, everybody. But the one thing I never realized is when we all used to hoop, I used to always be correcting people. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man, you got to woo woo.
You was that guy.
I was a dude. They were like, yo, man, shut the fuck up. Like,
you got some archery shot, man.
Right. No, seriously.
A little bit, man.
Seriously, man. No, for
yo,
real.
Just check the ball, man.
Yeah. Come on, Chris, shut up, man. So Big John brings me to the side. I was like, man, would you ever want to coach here? And I was like, man, I'm trying to make it back overseas. I ain't trying to coach in no Georgetown. But not realizing, like, damn, Now that I got older, I might have took that job. So long story short, he said, look, you might not want to work here, but can you just help LJ peak before he goes to USA? It was like USA 17s.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I mean, how much y'all going to pay me? He's like, we ain't going to pay you nothing. I just want you to help him. I'm like, all right, I help him. So I help LJ. He goes to play for USA and kills it. So Big John, when I came back to hoop again, he was like, man, LJ shot the best he's ever shot. But I'm still like, yeah, all right, Big John, get out of here. So I go keep trying to play again. It don't work. And then Kevin Seraphin reaches out to me and was like, yo, the New York Knicks, Phil, was he the GM?
He was the head coach.
He was the head coach.
At this time, he was the GM.
Oh, yeah.
So I came to New York.
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson. I met with
give you, Phil. I'm a Bulls guy. What can give you?
Yeah. So I met with Kevin's team. I moved to Paris. I started helping him, and his team in Europe was like, we've never seen a coach like you before, how he's shooting. But still, I mean, I'm still in my beginning stages, so I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. I'm in Paris. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't really, I'm a trainer right now, but I still might try to go back to be a player, you know? And then that's when Dwight Howard hit me up to help him with free throws. So I asked Kevin, I was like, yo, because I'm a loyal guy. So like, if I'm with you and me and you are somewhere and another guy wants to intertwine within that schedule, I say, hey, man, is it cool if I go work with blah, blah, blah for like maybe a week and come back? And oh, yeah, go ahead. So Kevin was like, yo, go help Dwight. So when I went to Dwight for free throws.
In Orlando?
For the Hawks.
Hawks, okay.
Yeah, so the Hawks brought me in. Shout out to that staff as well. So when I helped him the first 2 days, he was like, man, like we've never seen a coach like you before. Mm-hmm. Can you stay for the whole summer? So I hit Kevin Seraphim back and was like, yo, bro, like they want me to stay for the whole summer. He's like, bro, that's a dream come true if a team wants you to help a player for a whole summer. So I was in Atlanta. And then from there, man, it was like, God is good. Like I started helping so many other teams that year. Like OKC brought me in. Different teams was bringing me in.
So when they were bringing you in, they were bringing you in to work with the whole team or just one player?
Individually. Yeah, so like it's like a private contractor. So, you know, when you're not on staff and you come in to help people, you're basically like brought in to hire for that one person or two, because there are teams that I've helped more than two players before.
So when his percentage starts increasing, they're like, who's the guy that's doing it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're a mentor, right?
Right.
I want to go back a little bit, because before you were a mentor, you had a mentor.
Right.
I told you I'm a Bulls guy.
Right.
Let's talk about one of the greatest shooters ever.
Right.
Craig Hodges.
Right, yeah.
Talk about the role he played in your development.
Yeah, so I was overseas, you know, man, you know, it's that rough, man. It's just, man, I'm barely making money at the time, and coach saw me on the bench, but he watched a lot of film. So when we played his team, I didn't play that game. And he came to me and was like, yo, Christmas time, just have your bags packed, be ready, because I'm going to trade for you. And respectfully, at that time, I knew Craig Hodges, but I didn't know the Craig Hodges. I'm like, this old man tripping, man. Fuck out of here. You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When Christmas hit and we played his team, the owner of the team called my phone, was like, yo, you've been traded for a first-round draft pick and money. Coach Craig team wants you. So I was like, oh, damn, this dude's really serious. So when we played their team, I went back with his team, and then that next day he put me in the gym. He was like, this is the stuff that I think you're doing wrong, and I think this is how, because I'm not really the best dribbler, but shooting-wise, I can score like 50 easy with the right system, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he put me in the triangle system in different areas to score with my footwork and making read, because I'm really good at reading fast. So like, if something is happening over here, in my brain, I can see how the defender did something and look there and know where the other guy is going to be if it's a system. Mm-hmm. So he took the time to do that, and that's when I started breaking all these records overseas, bro. It's games where I got on film, bro. I scored like 22 in a row. It's because of how he was molding me. And then when I did my history, of course, prior when I started learning from him, I'm like, damn, this dude helped Kobe for all those years. This dude was on the team. Of course, I knew he was on the team with Michael Jordan.
Right.
But when he was shooting, even at the age he's at right now, I was like, damn, this dude, like, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And not just with basketball, but in life. You know, the one thing that Craig told me about life, you know, to use basketball, but don't let basketball use you. And to have him as somebody that I can just call and do stuff and just talk about life, you know, it's a dream come true to have him ever meet him, because even his attention to detail helped me become the trainer I am today.
So in shooting, it's a couple of things. You want to keep your elbow in. You want to follow through. You want to hold it. You want to, you know, get your legs. What do you teach that is so different that, like, drastically would improve somebody's shot?
I wouldn't say, you know, everything is so different. I don't really agree with the elbow in, because if you look at all the top shooters, like Ray Allen, is his elbow in? His elbow's out. I feel like just do what's comfortable for you. If you can go left and pull up and make it go right and pull up and make it sidestep, right, sidestep, left, and the defender in your face, you can make it, keep whatever form you have. But if not, that is my job to come in to make changes, not with just your jump shot, but with your mind. And I really do a good job with my clients of mentally stimulating them in a certain way because of the circumstances that I grew up around. Because, you know, you might be around the way one of your mans might be a schizo, one of your other mans might be a normal guy, one of the other mans might be crazy, but you all hanging out together. So, you know, the one dude, you can't think, move quick, because his flinch, he might punch you. The one dude, so it's like, that's how I am with my clients. Once I get to learn who you are, and I get to know who you are, that's when I attack your mental with my training. And that's what I learned from my living situation and from my degree in sociology.
So, all right. So back to the NBA thing. So you're working with Dwight Howard, and Now you're like an independent contractor just working with individual players. At that point in time, how much money were you making at that point in time?
I say with Dwight, they put me on the contract and it wasn't that much, bro. Probably like $2,000 a month. But I feel like
they give you somewhere to live.
They give you somewhere to live. They pay for your food.
It was
the opportunity. And I was just telling Seth on the way over here, I feel like in today's world, everybody just be wanting money so fast. You know, I feel like everybody just is so infatuated with money so fast, but your best opportunities are opportunities that don't bring a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, your best opportunities are situations that mold you and help you learn to be the person you're going to be, if that makes sense. And I feel like even on social media, like I was telling them, everybody wants to have the glamorous everything, but they don't understand that the best people, their first few jobs, they didn't make anything. You know what I mean? So I really take pride in, you know, just sacrificing with a lot with that.
So the results is what's going to change the trajectory, right? So after he starts performing, is it another NBA team or another NBA athlete that changes the way that you're doing business now? Now you have an idea of like, you know what? I see my value. I know what to charge. Or was it the celebrity route? Was it like people watching like, you know what? Every rapper think they can hoop. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I see this guy training him. Can I get involved? Like, which one happened? Was it the next athlete or was it entertainment?
Well, I really just started training entertainers just a few years ago. Okay. So that's more like, you know, my spare time. That's something, you know, it's not like...
That's your main thing.
That's not my main thing. Yeah. Like, my main thing is helping Jaylen Brown, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Michael Porter Jr., Bobby Portis. You know what I mean? Like, that's what my life is devoted to. And now, if I train an artist, now, I mean, don't get it messed up. I'm going to train you like you're getting ready for the finals. But I'm not watching film on you like I spend, like I do with my clients. I'm watching hours and hours of film so we can be prepared. You know, and that's the one thing I think people don't know about me. Like, they'll see me, like, last week I trained Peso. You know, he has the number one song in the world right now. Yeah. They'll think, that's my man. I know him. We cool. But, like, I'm not watching film on him to train him. When we get in the gym, it's more like we get in a connection to see who each other are. And I'm going to help you with your jump shot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I really want people to really understand my life is devoted to helping my NBA, WNBA, and grassroots players take their game to the next level.
But it is great marketing.
It is good marketing.
And so at what point do you really hit your stride on, like, that social media aspect of it? Because You've carved a niche out for yourself to shoot these unbelievable shots.
Right.
Training celebrities.
Right.
And it's a whole vibe. And that gets a lot of attention. So at some point, I'm assuming you thought about this and like, how can I separate myself from every other trainer?
Yeah. So like, you know, but if you look at everybody, look at Marvin Gaye, look at Kanye, look at who do you look up to? Like, who's the celebrity you look up to?
I admire Jay.
But is he doing one thing?
No,
he's a rapper. He's a businessman. He's doing clothes. He's doing all types. He's doing wine. He's doing all different things. And that's when I start realizing, how can I separate myself? Because I'm not just a trainer. I am a content creator. I can help with movies. I can help celebrities. I can help on the back end with people with life. So it's like I started making myself more uncomfortable, you know. And if you really want to be successful, you got to make yourself uncomfortable. So when I was in Atlanta, what happened was 21 Savage. I've never in my life trained a rapper, bro, like ever. Cause I was just like, I'm NBA, WNBA. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So 21 Savage hit me up and was like, yo, man, like, you know, I want to get in the gym.
It's out the blue.
Out the blue. And I'm like, damn, it's like 12 o'clock midnight. And I'm like, I told Dwight, I was like, bro, I don't think I want to train a rapper. And then I started thinking to myself, like, why not? You know? Yeah. So I trained 21, and bro, it was amazing, bro. Good connection. And what was crazy was, as soon as me and him started training, he got a call from somebody from just like midnight. He got a call from somebody from jail. And it kind of reminded me of like, damn, this is how I used to have to talk to my uncle and my cousin and my biological brother. And that's how me and him started connecting in that way. And then when I posted 21 on my page, everybody was like, oh, shoot, 21 with Lethal and Lethal with 21. And I was like, you know what? The next time these other rappers reach out to me, I am going to train them. And that's when it started really doing that. So definitely shout out to 21 for doing that.
But then the other part of it is I know a lot of trainers.
Yeah.
But very few trainers, I don't know any trainer really that actually post themselves doing drills.
Right.
So you actually are shooting yourself.
Yeah.
That's another, when did you say, okay, this is a good idea for me to actually showcase my ability?
Yeah, I wanted, like you said, I wanted to stick out. You know what I mean? I wanted to, like, I didn't make it to the league. So I was like, I got to show these people I shoot like Steph. I shoot like Clay. So I did my first shooting video around my way. You know, my man Chug passed me the ball, but I didn't think it was going to go viral, bro. Like, people was going crazy in the comments because the net was, like, extremely loud and stuff like that. And I was like, whoa. Like, and that's when Instagram first started allowing us to do videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was only 15 seconds. So I was like, in 15 seconds, I got to try squeezing, like, 12 threes. Like, you know what I mean? So I was just doing everything to jump out of the box. And once I saw people were, you know, like you're saying, like, if you're teaching something and you can do it, that takes your value up to a whole different level. And I think, you know, if you're a trainer out there and you're teaching something and you've mastered it, I think it's easier to get clients and to teach other people that craft.
Yeah. Is there a creative team that works with you? Because I remember I've seen the craziest shots. I've seen the half court sitting down behind the back. But when I saw you put the spikes on the rim, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, is there a creative team that goes behind that? Like, who's designing the rims for you? Like, what's that process like?
Yeah, so every idea you see on my page, is anything, Red Bull, everything I do of content is 100% my idea. You know, and because, you know, I'm very creative, you know what I mean? And I want to show the world that even as a basketball player, even as somebody that you think just can shoot a basketball, I can be creative and think out of the box. So what happened was over COVID, we were all just sitting. And I felt like I was always scared to really show my super creative side because as a trainer, and especially training NBA guys, if you do certain stuff, the type of elements I'm in, other trainers will try to make you feel uncomfortable. Like, look at this nigga. Like he must shoot.
Like he's a joke.
Like he's a joke.
Yeah.
So during COVID, I was like, man, fuck this. Like, I don't care what people think about me no more. So I made an aluminum ball through a Red Bull can, but far. It was like from here to deeper than where Seth is at. Mm. Like an aluminum small ball in a can hole. And it took me like, it took me like 7 straight hours to make it.
To make it.
So when I did and I posted, people was like, bro, going crazy. So I said, this is the perfect time. I went to the court down the street. I took the whole backboard off the court, bro. Took the whole backboard off court. Did a shooting video. That joint went crazy.
That. It was just the rim.
It was just the rim. And then I said, man, I got an idea for a rim, but I don't know how to build it. So I went online, typed in welder LA. All these welders popped up. I copy and pasted a message to all these welders. I said, the first person to hit me back, that's the person I'm going to try to talk to. So when I talked to this first lady, her energy wasn't as high as mine for my idea. So if I call you and say, hey, how you doing, man? I'm Lethal. And I got an idea for me and you. And you say, oh, okay, yeah. Well, what's the idea? I don't want to. Wait, that ain't right. The energy you mean with. Right. So the second dude that responded, I said, hey, man, I'm Lethal. Shooter, I got an idea. Can you make this? He said, man, I could make that tonight. I said, oh, we're meeting his energy. And his name's Arthur. Bruh, the next day he had the rim at my house. Remember, we don't know each other.
Yeah.
And his energy was like that. And 3 years later, we're still doing rim ideas. And we're doing things that bro, I have millions of ideas for rim ideas. Because you know where we come from, bro. We got to be creative. You know what I mean? We got to think out of the box.
It starts with the hanger.
Yeah. Oh, man. Side. Yep. And then the house.
Then it becomes the
exactly.
garbage can.
Yeah, the crate.
That's a fact.
I mean, it comes from somewhere else. What I'm saying. That's
the crate legendary.
But we had to use crates. When I was growing up, I had to use crates for my bed. Because we didn't have the bed, the frame. I would have my bed sitting all in here with stairs walking up in my bed in the room, bro. I'm serious.
Bunk.
Yeah.
So who gave you the name Lethal Shooter?
So my dad gave me that name. It was actually Lethal. In my games, my dad would call me Lethal. You know what I mean? My son, Lethal, 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 Lethal. So when I was going to make my Instagram, my good friend Jonathan McNair, shout out to him because I thought Instagram was corny at first.
When did you first get on Instagram? Like 2012, something like that?
Yeah, I want to say like 2012. Yeah. But it was an iPod. So I didn't have I don't even know was iPhones around back then?
IPhones,
I don't
want to sound 2010, stupid. Yeah. It came
okay,
out
okay. So I didn't have an iPhone. I had one of them small flip phone. It was bad. It was a bad time. So long story short, he gave me his iPod and he's like, yo, you gotta get on Instagram. And you know, back then, Facebook was pumping, MySpace, all that stuff. And then I said, man, all right, I'll get on this joint, man. So I couldn't come up with no names. And I was like, you know what? Lethal Shooter. Like, that's, you know, woo-woo. So I came up with the name Lethal Shooter, but this is what people don't know that he knows. I wasn't getting no traction on there, right? Bro, I would sit up from like 1 o'clock in the morning to like 8 o'clock at night and just liking people's photos, bro. So people can just see my page.
That's a growth hack strategy.
Yeah, yeah. I would just sit up all night.
You manually do it?
Manually do it myself. Like, and it's just like, I was just, my eyes would be burning in the morning. Like, I didn't care. You know what I mean? I just wanted people to see who I was, you know what I mean? And that's another good example in life as well. You know, like, you got to bet on yourself. You know what I mean? You got to do things that other people won't do. And don't feel like you look like a clown or something. Like, you know what I mean? Because I remember I used to do it around my friends. Like, bro, what you doing? I'm like, I'm liking pictures, bro. Like, y'all go ahead, dog.
You know what's crazy is I actually used to do that. Before Earning Leisure, I was growing my own personal page. But I used a bot. It was a bot that it was like $20 a month or like that, and it would like 5,000 pictures a month.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm doing it the wrong way.
Automated. You got to
figure
it
out. God damn.
It worked, but it did work. Yeah. That was one of those things where I was like, I don't know if it still works to this day, but that was one of those early Instagram strategies. Yeah. You like a picture, and then somebody's like, who's this random person making a picture? And then they go to your page, like, oh, he's pretty cool. I'm going to follow him.
Yeah.
Now, that's dope. So, all right. So, now... List some of your clients again that you're working with currently.
NBA?
Yeah.
Man, it's a blessing, man. Sabonis, Jaylen Brown, Bobby Portis, Michael Porter Jr., Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Win tonight, guys. They play tonight.
Shooters. Bobby Portis became a shooter.
That's my man, dog. That's my man.
Bulls drafted him.
Yeah.
We couldn't sign him. He went to Milwaukee. Yeah. And now he's knocking down threes.
It's a blessing, man. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I mean, it's a lot. Grayson Allen. It's a lot of guys, man.
So now... You are just getting these players on your own individual. You're not working with NBA teams anymore, no, right?
Yeah, so the way it works is, like, when you go into, even if you help a player, once you go inside that organization, you're part of the team, if that makes sense. So, like, a good example is, like, this year I had Cole Anthony. You know, he's a New York guy. Yeah. So when I go in there and I go into Orlando and they allow me to come into their franchise and that gym to train, I become a representation of that franchise.
Okay.
That's why when I'm in there, you know, I got my shirt tucked in. Am I on that staff? No. But if I'm in there and one of the coaches want to come in and join, yes, I absolutely love to do that, if that makes sense. Yeah. And it's the same with the Celtics. When I went in there to help Jalen and Grant Williams and stuff, I'm in there. If the coach is in there, you know, how you doing, coach? You know what I'm saying? Woo, woo. And it's just like, it's a blessing because that's the stuff that people don't see. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, people just see the posts, if that makes sense. Yeah. Or people just see the results, but people don't really know what goes on the back end.
I'm thinking about the guys you just named, Bobby Portis. I remember him at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Wasn't a 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And then now you just said Grant Williams.
Yeah.
I remember him at Tennessee. Yeah. He was a bruiser.
Yeah.
Watching him on the Celtics.
Yeah.
He has a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
When you walk into these buildings, I'm sure the players know who you are they looking at it like, yeah, I can shoot better than him?
I mean,
he could. Let's put it to the test now. Like, they challenge you when you get in there?
Yeah. So, 2 weeks ago, I'm going to tell you what happened 2 weeks ago. This dude's crazy, dog.
Yeah.
So, the Nuggets was playing the Lakers at home, and me and Michael Porter was in the gym till like 11 o'clock, right? So, don't forget, I had to train him for like an hour and a half. So, I'm like tired. You know what I mean? Michael Porter, tomorrow. Let's play a game. Who get the first two in a row? I'm like, bro, I just trained you for an hour and a half. So shout out to Michael Porter. He beat me. You know what I mean? But when he beat me, I didn't hear the end of it. You know what I mean? But all jokes aside, I love shooting against my clients and having a good time because it just shows you that they believe in my shot. They know I can shoot. And that's why I attacked the world record last year, if you saw it. It was on ESPN. Like, with Red Bull, they did a good job of letting me express my shooting abilities. And Craig played a huge part in that, by the way, because he taught me a few things that I needed to do to break the world record. And I did that to show people. It was his record.
Yep.
I love shooting on little cans. I love shooting through straws. But like when you shooting on the real rim, that's what it really is. Because people don't know what I've really done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why I broke that world record, so people can know like I'm a legit shooter.
Then another criticism, you know, people online, there's always critics online.
Right.
Another criticism, well, he could shoot in the drill, but he can't shoot in a game.
Right.
What's your thoughts on people when they say that?
Yeah, so that's good. That's good, and that's about life. Usually, when people criticize others, that means they can't do what they're trying to do with their life.
That's,
you know, it's a reason why in high school, like I said, with Jesse and them, you know, I was nominated for the McDonald's All-American game. You know what I mean? I was top three in all of DMV and shooting guards. Like, you don't just... I'm not doing that. I'm coming down the court. You're like, yo, go knock it down. You're not defending me. I don't go to the Pac-10 for no reason. Did I play a lot in the Pac-10? No, but that's the development that I needed. But you don't go to the Pac-10 back then not being able to play basketball and then go to the Atlantic 10 and finish first in Atlantic 10 when they got players like Deontay Christmas and different guys that's playing in that league. And if I couldn't shoot with a defender in my face, how would I play overseas? How would I do everything that I've done? How would I have broken all these barriers? So it's more just... Whenever you're doing something positive, you're always going to have people saying something negative. And you have to learn how to master to block out the negativity. And I think I've really mastered that, especially Like when grown men walk up to me, like, I don't give a hell, but it's like, man, you can't really shoot in real life. But it's like, I guess everything that I've done is green screen. Like, you get where I'm coming from? Like, I'll do a video. Like, did you see the video of me laying on the ground?
Yes.
Making shots. People say, oh, that's green screen. I'm about to green screen. Like, I don't got time for that, bro. I don't even got the money for that. So it's just like, bro, like, but that means you're doing something right, bro.
Yeah, you must
like,
be able with it.
Yeah, that means you're doing, if you don't have people talking negative about you, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But that's why only the select few can be real big in life. Because if you can't take negativity, you won't be great.
When I think about the greatest shooter, Steph Curry, I wonder your perception of it, right? You're coming up in a time, he's drafted in 09, you're going through the collegiate process. His impact on basketball, right? Because when there was a time when it was like, Iverson had the crossover, everybody wanted to do that. But Steph has come, and now it's like, everybody wants to shoot. It's not like they're working on the handles. Your thing is specifically shooting. I wonder what your thoughts are on his impact, and have you ever shot against him?
Yeah, so I have a shot against Steph. He's a good friend of mine. I feel like, and I always say this, I feel like if it wasn't for Steph and Klay Thompson, I probably wouldn't have the brand I have today. Because the way they changed the game, you know, if it wasn't for them, shooting has always been shooting. Don't get it messed up. Right. Shooting has always been.
They made it sexy.
Like, they made it a certain way that, like, for instance, like my client, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, signed an $80 million contract. Bobby Portis signed a $60 million contract because they extended their range and stuff of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you know, it's just a blessing to grow up in that situation where Steph impacted at the right time. And I say that in all my interviews where, soon as Steph did that, that's when I was trying to figure out what I really wanted to do and things of that nature. And it's you know, man, it's a dream come true, bro. Because if they wouldn't have did that, would it really be a famous shooting coach? Like, we all had shooting coach growing up. You know what I mean? But would it really be like that? So definitely shout out to those guys for doing that, for sure.
All right. Do you only train on shooting?
Yeah. So the one thing I don't do, that not saying other trainers do that, I'm not trying to dominate your whole training session. So you have a lot of trainers, they want to be your weight coach, they want to be a dribbling coach, they want to cut your grass, wash your car, and help you with your jump shot. My only job is to help you with shooting. So let's do Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
When Bobby Portis hired me 3 years ago, and I still train him to this day, when I went into the gym, he had two other coaches in there. And their other coaches handle footwork, handle all that stuff. My job is for shooting. Okay, so when I went in there, they said, listen, bro, we've been watching you. We need your help, man. We need to break down this guy's jump shot. So when I broke down his jump shot, when it's time to do dribbling drills, it's not my job to do that. But anything he does to shoot out of those dribbling drills, that now it's time for me to come in. Because the one thing I am really good at is, if it's something off the dribble, I know how to get to a quicker rhythm. I know how to do the stuff really, really fast to stimulate the person to have a good rhythm, if that makes sense.
So, all right, advice for trainers coming up, or just trainers in general.
Yeah.
You think that they should just focus on one area? Like Shamgar's a dribbling coach, you shooting coach. Because most trainers do everything.
Right.
Do you think that that's a mistake, them trying to do everything?
Well, that's a good example. You use a prime example that he's considered, you know, one of the top dribbling coaches in the world, and he's sitting on a Mavs bench, and this guy has his own shoe. So the thing I'm saying is, he's not out there trying to teach people shooting, no disrespect. He's not out there trying to put people in the weight room. He's teaching people ball handling. Mm-hmm. So the thing I'm saying is, absolutely, if you're a trainer watching this, whatever God-given talent that he gave you, master that to teach it to other people, and then the world's going to recognize that. But if you can teach other things, teach that. But don't be such in a rush to try to teach other things. Because once you show you can teach one thing and people start doing it really good, then that's when other people are going to want to hire you.
Yeah, so when the lethal shooter, obviously, you had the skill, you were teaching it, but when does it become a brand? When do other people start looking at it and saying, we need to bring this guy in? So, examples like a Red Bull, how did they get involved in saying, we need to have that talent on our roster?
I'll say about 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, you know, God is good, bro. Like Red Bull, Nike, Jordan Brand, all these major companies, the NBA. Like, I'm never playing the NBA, bro. They got me at the NBA draft on the stage.
We saw you at the All-Star game.
Yeah. But the thing I'm saying is, it just shows you, bro, like what me and you spoke about, like, if you're consistent, you're going to get everything you want in life. You know what I mean? So when these brands was reaching out to me, it was just like, dang, me? And then I started realizing that, yes, me, you deserve this. You went through all this for this moment. You didn't make it to the NBA, but your brand now is just like an NBA player. But that's what happens when you are consistent, bro. And that's why I try to tell people where I'm from, yeah, bro, you're a rapper, but you didn't make it as high as Meek Mills. But why not just start a school and teach people how to rap or teach people how to use the keys or so? I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, there's other ways around to do other stuff. You know what I mean? So it's just... To have these brands believe in me, bro, is man, it's a dream come true. I wouldn't even have a documentary if it wasn't for Red Bull. You know what I mean? I got my own Jordan shoe. You know what I mean? True. So,
well, you're the only trainer with Jordan brand, right?
I'm the only trainer with my own shoe.
With your own shoe?
Yeah.
With Jordan brand?
With Jordan brand. That's God, man.
Talk about that.
And I'm the only trainer that has a jump shot in NBA 2K, man. Because they consider me like an NBA guy. You know what I mean? But... when Jordan Brand reached out to me, they was like, how you feel about a shoe? And I was like, for me? Yeah. And I was like, hell yeah. So they said, all right, well, we're going to think about it. So I get an email like, yo, we got a conference call because you got to go through Oregon and, you know, everything's in Oregon.
Yeah.
So they reached out. We do everything. And then Jumpman LA was like, yo, this is going to be the design. And I looked at it. I was like, damn, like, this is amazing, man. Like, can I get it tomorrow? So they was like, nah, you get it in like 10 months. You can't tell anybody. And, man, it was a dream come true, bro. A dream come true.
So you said you got a jump shot in 2K.
Yeah.
But you recently just signed a deal with PlayStation.
Man,
This is not just like... 2K the game, like Sony's PlayStation.
Yeah, man.
What was that deal like? Like, how does that look? Because I've never seen somebody sign to the actual company itself.
Yeah, so they reached out to me like a year ago as well, saying they've been watching me and they want to figure out ways to help me, you know, intertwine within the company. And they had actually me and Jalen do a collab All-Star Weekend. And then they got to see me, you know, just who I am as a person, if that makes sense. And once they saw that, they reached out again. It was like, you know, how would you feel being up under the company? And I was like, I mean, yeah, I've been playing PlayStation my whole life. You know what I mean? So, man, I can't even explain how I feel, man. It's just a dream.
So are we thinking maybe like a game or like what?
I mean, we got some good stuff coming out soon. Definitely in the next, in the next 3 months. Definitely stay tuned, man. And then you're going to see, man, it's a dream come true, bro.
So how do you, at this point, people are reaching out to you as far as your clients?
Yeah, so the way...
Do you recruit people or do people reach out to you?
Yeah, I don't really recruit people at all. Teams reach out to me, agencies, the players, or maybe the homie. So it might be like, yo, man, my cousin is... it's blah, 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 man. He played for the Bucks, man. He needs your help, man. We sitting in the kitchen right now, man, talking about you. So it's just whoever, you know, reaches out, I always respond.
And only NBA players you're working with?
So, you know, that's a good, I'm glad you asked me that. Because, like, you'll have people like, oh, man, Lethal, you don't got time for the kids and stuff like that. I do a lot of kid groups. I do a lot of stuff in the community. I do a lot of big things. But when it comes to soul training right now, I have to just do professionals, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm doing NBA, WNBA, and I'm, you know, God is good as well. I'm signed with Nike EYBL as one of their trainers as well. So I just came back 3 days ago from Top 100, where I have to help all those kids and stuff like that. So it's just... basically that eats up so much of my time. So when I do kids, it has to be a big group. Like, for instance, in LA in 2 weeks, I'm partnering with a youth program where it's going to be 500 kids in there. I'm going to hang out there for the day. And last time I was in New York, I was with the PA. I forgot the name of the gym, but it was like 600 kids in there through Five Star. And I'm in there hanging out all day, eating lunch with the kids. But that's what the people don't see. I mean, of course, I'll post a shooting video with the kids. But I'm not just going and doing that and just leaving. I'm in there mingling, hanging out when my time is due. I don't have time with a schedule that I have to just train somebody really fast. Yes, I have to do certain type of clients right now because that's what that's what I have to do for right now.
Are there guys coming into the league, the draft is coming up.
Right.
Are there agents that are looking at you to help their clients get into the league, right? Because I know you work with professionals that are there, but I'm looking at this draft class, and one of the things, you know, some of the knocks be like, you know what?
Yeah.
He doesn't have range.
That's huge.
Are there agents that are looking at you to say, help my guy get into the league?
Yeah, so this year I actually had the most ever. Like, I really never do pre-draft workouts. But this is the year, like, that's a good question that a lot of agents was hitting me up. Because this draft, a lot of the guys that are, like, lottery and big-time names, they need help with their jump shot if they want to make that bread. But, yeah, I try to stay away from that. And the only reason I try to stay away from that because I don't want you to try to use me is that, like, when you get drafted or something and you still shooting that same shot and you think it's my fault, if that makes sense. I'll let you get drafted and let you do your thing for a year or so or something so you can see what it is. And then that's when I'll come in and do what I do. But you're not going to pre-draft workout with me and then go to a – remember, you ain't been shooting good your whole life. And then you go work out for the Hornets in 2 weeks, and then you shoot the same, and then it's lethal fault, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I got to protect myself, you know what I mean? Because what a lot of people don't say, everything is not really about race, but, like, as an African-American shooting coach, how many people – it's a little rare. You get what I'm saying? Like, so it's just, like, I got to protect myself in a certain way right now, and I got to sometimes say no to certain opportunities because I
– How do I save? Where do I invest? Can I build wealth to pass on to my family? Fidelity's got answers for you right here at InvestFest. Stop by booth 201 to chat with Fidelity's financial education consultants and pick up a fresh perspective on investing at one of their popular mini seminars. Their money pros are here to help you make smart financial decisions that can elevate your life and lay the foundation for a lasting legacy of Black wealth. Fidelity at InvestFest will be your first stop on the road to financial greatness. Learn more at fidelity.com/blackwealth or visit booth 201. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I want to sabotage my brand because there's people out there that, you know, that anything you do, they'll try to sabotage. Like a good example, Bobby said this on his podcast. He said that one game he played bad and people on Twitter was like, Lethal is a scammer. Then the next game, Bobby hits 8 threes. We love you, Lethal. So it's just like, you know, it's just
you
even
know how that go.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How do you determine like the rate to charge somebody? Because that's one of these things where there's no set price on a trainer. I guess it just depends on the value.
Yeah.
Right? How do you determine that?
Just basically that's what my manager does. You know what I mean? So like she'll reach out to the team, they'll reach out with her, they handle that. Just basically like, you know, I'm not out here. The one thing I could say, but I could do, but I never do, because I want you to have generational wealth. I can get points on your contract if I want it. You know what I mean? Because every client that I've helped.
Oh, you could?
So the way it works is like, you know, let's say you're Antoine and you're, did you know in NBA contracts, they have percentages where if you shoot 40% from three, you can make like an extra 800,000 and stuff like that. If you make, that's, if you make, you know that, it's points.
Incentives.
So like I could easily do things like that because I have so much confidence in myself. I know when I train with you, bro, them percentages is going to go up. So that's why I don't do that. But I'm saying there's certain agencies and certain people that do stuff like that. With me, I'm not here to take all your money. I'm here to bring value to you and your family so you can make a lot of money, if that makes sense. So like when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signed that contract, you know how much money he gave me? I'm asking.
Nah, I have no clue.
Nothing. And I don't want nothing. I don't want no Rolex. I don't want no GMC truck. I want you to sign that thing so you and your family could be taken care of. When Bobby signed his contract, I called him. Man, I'm proud of you. Jalen Brown right now, they talking about he about to get a mega.
323.
And you know what I want out of that? All I want him to do is just focus on my training, bro. I want him to have his generational wealth, if that makes sense. So when my manager talks to these people, it's a set rate for NBA, WNBA, for camps and all that type of stuff. So that's the stuff that her and my team handle.
Yo, listen, Jalen, when you signed at 323, he at least needs courtside tickets. Like, minimum, bro.
I don't go to games.
Okay.
All right.
But let's talk about the era of trainers, though. Like, you, Chris Brinkley, you guys have become celebrities.
Yeah.
But even Dan, because, like, my son plays basketball, okay, right? And I've noticed, he's 12, I've noticed something. When I played basketball my whole life, and well, I used to just go to the basketball court and play.
Yeah.
5-on-5, 3-on-3, 1-on-1.
Right.
Might have a training session every once in a while. Kids don't really play basketball anymore unless it's a training session.
Yeah.
There's a lot of personal trainers.
Yeah.
And I feel like every kid has a personal trainer now.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? Because when I grew up, you know what I mean? Like you said, we'll go outside, what, 9 in the morning, hoop all day to 5 p.m. That's how you became good.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, at a young age, I don't think a kid should really have. Of course, you need to have somebody age do this here and there. Mm-hmm. But let that kid go play. That's how he going to learn how to play at an early age. I feel like it's too much pacifying going on right now. You know what I mean? I feel like it's so many parents that's depriving kids of their childhoods because they're seeing what's happening on social media and stuff like that. And that's why a lot of these guys aren't really as great as they can be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them feel, what is the word when somebody feels like you're supposed to give them something?
Entitled?
Entitled. These kids feel so entitled now. We weren't entitled. You know what I mean? A good example, I remember I used to come to New York, bro. We would play at the Rucker, then we'd go to Pro City, then we'd go to, what was the one that was sponsored by Jordan Brand? I forgot. But basically, we playing five games in a day, if that makes sense, with White Chalk and all these guys. And it's just like, we didn't have no trainers or nothing like that. We just hooping because we love the game. So it's like, if it's somebody out there and you're young, of course, have somebody explain to you how to do a train on your spare time here and there. But if you really want to be the best, man, go play basketball at a young age. You know what I mean?
Just go hoop.
Yeah, go hoop.
Because even the runs now are, like, organized.
Oh, man, referees. you know, back when we was growing up, if you foul me, but that's what...
You got to figure that out.
That's what we missed. You got to figure it out. Yeah. They don't foul, nigga. That is a foul. Man, you fouling me, man.
Shoot for it.
Yeah, shoot for it.
He's shooting for me.
Yeah, so it's just... I feel like these kids are being deprived on life lessons. And that's why when you go to these AAU events, all due respect to the kids and the family, like, these kids don't even know how to handle. They all whining and stuff like that. We didn't do that. You get what I'm saying? When I played for DC Assault and different things, like, we was so much intertwined and understanding how it was playing at the park that when we went to and stuff happened, we knew how to handle ourselves. The kids right now don't even know how to handle themselves. Bro, these kids now are walking around with videographers at AAU games. I can't even get content from my AAU games, bro.
That's another thing. Everybody's got a videographer.
Everybody got a videographer now.
The rankings come out younger and younger.
You shouldn't rank. I think we shouldn't rank kids, bro, until they get to middle school.
Middle school?
Because we wouldn't know in high school a little too late. Yeah, I feel like middle school.
I saw you, well, there's a picture.
Yeah.
You working out with Bryce.
Right, James. Right.
Which is obviously LeBron's son.
Right.
So, I mean, what is that like when you have a child of a legend, a superstar, one of the greatest ever?
Right.
What's that like for you, right? Because it's like, is there pressure for you to say, like, I got to make sure this is working because, you know, that's his pops?
Yeah.
What is that like?
Well, you know, the blessing is to help Nike and Jordan Brand. I am around a lot of top kids.
Right.
So there's no pressure for me. You know, what I do, I have a lot of confidence in. So, you know, at that camp, it was a lot of kids that are great. It's just Bryce's father is LeBron James. Right. Just like Melo's son was there, you know, just like other legends, kids are hooping. Like, you know, Big Zach Randolph, I trained his daughter. You know what I mean? Yeah, she's very, very great. You know what I mean? And she's a dog. I love her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But long story short, not to disrespect the LeBron or anybody, but it's not like nothing. I don't look at him as LeBron's son. I look at him as another young man that I need to help take to the next level. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking to him, I'm not talking to him or a different person because you are somebody of that stature. I'm looking at you as a young man that I want to help take your jump shot to the next level, if that makes sense.
Jump shot, bro. Yeah. When you said you don't go to games, but I know you watch games.
Yeah.
Are you ever watching games and somebody's struggling like, yo, damn, he really need to reach out?
Yeah.
He really need to reach out. I wish he would reach out so I could help him.
Yeah, so I'll go to games here and there, but I can't go watch my cards play because it gives me anxiety. Because I can't really be myself. Because, like, at the game, like, when I went to one of Sabonis games, he did good. He had, like, 20-20, but he could have had, like, 32-25. Mm-hmm. So when he do certain stuff at the games, you know, I want to be like, God damn. But I can't do that because I'm lethal shooter. So I got to sit there with my polo on and just be like, just chilling. So I'd rather watch from the TV because I'm ready to snap.
You're like the boxing trainer watching the fighter.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's just, I can't really be myself. So yes, bro, what I do is I got a book. I got lethal shooter on the side of the book. Bro, I watch all these games. Every shooter that can't shoot, I write notes down on them. That's why every time somebody calls me and asks for help, I'm good. I'm ready. Yeah. So, like, let's say somebody DM me or management team hits me up. Hey, man, we want you to work with blah, blah, blah. Perfect. Soon as I get with that person, I'll be like, man, what's your favorite spot? And they'll be like, I don't know. I could tell them their favorite spot. I could tell them why they're missing. I could tell them the shots they can't make. I could tell them everything about their body demeanor on the bench. I could tell them their body language after their missed shots. Mm. I can literally tell you everything you're doing wrong with the art of shooting.
You're doing the prep work.
You got to do the prep
work. Got you.
You know what I mean? You got to, especially dealing with these type of guys. You know what I mean? Because when they meet you, I'm going to give you a good example, bro, because he's from New York. So I met Danny Green 2 years ago. And you remember, he's considered one of the best shooters of all time. You know what I mean? He did a good job. I mean, Danny's
he's a shooter.
He's a good shooter.
He's a great shooter. New York, how many people out of New York?
New York. Not a lot of great shooters come out of New York. No, it's a ball handling.
It don't matter.
It's like, it's like him, Tobias Harris?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Danny's
right
up.
Right now. Yeah.
So long story short, when I first met Danny, he was like, what can you teach me that I don't know about shooting?
Mm.
Yeah. So I was like, I really think it's a lot I could teach you, man. I think this is what you do wrong. That's what you do wrong. And he was like, oh, damn. So when he came to the Sixers, that was the highest three-point percentage he ever shot in his career from the corner because that was the biggest thing we was working on because the year prior that I wasn't with him, the Lakers, he didn't do it the way he really wanted to do it. But we built a relationship that what people don't know is in the finals, we were talking on the phone. but I wasn't really being able to touch him the way I could. So I trained him one time for the Lakers, but that's not enough with the art of shooting. That's not enough. So we would have phone calls. And then we started training when he was with the Sixers. That's when everything started coming back. But that's another prime example where players are like, you know, like, how can you really help me? And that's a good example because a lot of elite shooters who hire me when I do help them, they always say that. Like, what can you teach me that I don't know? And if Steph Curry, if Tiger Woods have coaches, all of us can have coaches because they're the best.
So your demand on your time, right? Because you're training different players in different parts of the country. Like you said, I mean, if you get one session in with a person, that's not really going to change everything. How do you structure this? Is it like a package where like I got to see you two times in a week or six times over the course of a month? Like, how do you do that?
Yes, you got to be very consistent in the summertime. It has to be over at least 25 workouts. 25. You know what I mean?
Each player.
It doesn't matter how it happens, but it needs to be at least 25 workouts. Just so it, because the thing about muscle memory is, and it's about repetition. You know what I mean? Like if you don't do something consistently, you're not with that person that's teaching you how to do it. Like if you train with me in the summer three times, and you think the first game in the NBA season you're gonna be shooting great, no. That's why it's a lot of people that I've actually trained that I never posted. Because, you know, you're not a representation of me if you only train for me one or twice. You're a representation of me when we train multiple times. And that's when I post the shooting videos and stuff like that of that nature. So
do you have, because I used to go to IMG Academy, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you know about IMG.
Yeah.
So the trainer there, his name was Joe Abunasaw.
Okay.
I think they got Impact now in Vegas. But all the NBA players used to go to IMG to train. Are they all coming to you? They all coming to you?
No. So I travel as well.
You travel?
Yeah.
But that makes it harder though, right?
It does make it hard. But the reason why I do that, so just so everybody can know too, I could easily be a millionaire. Because all I would have to do is build a gym, if I let every single NBA player that reached out to me train with me, I would make tons of money. But the thing is, since I'm a shooting coach and my brand is where it's at, if an NBA player comes to my gym, does an Insta story, what are everybody going to say? Oh, blah, blah, blah with Lethal. But they don't know that might have been one or two workouts. Now that gets out, now what happens is when in the middle of the season, his shooting percentage is a certain way, whose fault is it? It's Lethal's fault. So that's why with my brand, I can't bring in all these NBA guys because I'm teaching one premium thing, if that makes sense. You get where I'm coming from? And that's why I don't cheat people even with my youth camp. So like when you see my personal camps, I do small camps so all the kids can touch me and understand and get the understand the art of shooting. I don't do big, massive camps for myself because I'm not going to be to give everybody the same attention. I want to do camps to give everybody the same attention. That's why every camp that I do is really, really small because I really want to help them people. Not saying there's nothing wrong with the other camps that other people are doing, but if I really wanted to do the quick get money schemes, I could easily do that.
Okay. So you never want to have a facility where it's just everybody just comes, even if it's
I have a facility right now.
Okay.
But the thing is, with the way you explained it, which is done. It's so many people. When I'm teaching the art of shooting, bro, and the energy that I'm giving to a client, it's impossible for me to try to train five NBA guys.
You like to do one person at a time.
I like to probably in a day, the most I'll push myself is probably two NBA players in a day.
In a whole entire day.
Because the energy that I'm giving that person, I don't want it to be other trainers.
Back to back.
I want it to be myself.
How long is the workout itself?
It would probably be an hour and a half, and I feel like you ain't listening. I'm gonna push you to you like, and I don't get paid overtime. So it was a good example. Let's do Cole Anthony because he's from New York.
Yeah.
It was one time he was in the workout. He wasn't getting the footwork that I needed to understand to his step back. So after the hour and a half is up, that's the hour and a half he paid for. We stayed in the gym, bro, for like 3.5 hours. But the one thing to understand is I'm not about to charge you double. I just want you to understand what I'm looking for. So now what that does is I'm not waiting, now I got blah, blah, blah next. I need to hurry up and get Cole out, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just like to have my day open because I really want this person to understand what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? But if I want it.
I get it.
Trust me, bro. I can get about 7 in a day and make some great money doing that. But
it'll compromise the integrity of what you're doing.
Yeah, man, because I just want that person to know. And that's why if you notice with my content, it's not saying all the trainers need to do this, but I don't have a lot of people in my workouts and stuff like that. It's me, and I might have somebody rebound, but I'm checking the guy. I'm doing everything.
So do you ever train two people at one time?
The only time I do that is when they have to understand the same exact task. I can't train you two together if your footwork's off and his arm is off, because now If you do something and I'm watching him, you're doing the same thing wrong over and over and over, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, if both of you guys have the same issues, I can train both of you guys together. You know, and I find that weird sometimes, too, when you'll have a guard and a center and all these guys training in one group doing the same move. It don't even make sense. Like, a good example is I trained Grayson Allen and Bobby Portis. You know how many times they've trained together?
During the season?
During the season. I trained both of them the whole season. How many times do you think they trained together in the same gym?
Never.
Probably never. Yeah. They're doing think. Two they're different guards. Things.
Yeah, yeah.
But now if I wanted to do it quick and to knock them out quick, I'll do it that way when I go to Milwaukee.
Just get a 2-for-1
man,
payment.
Do a 2-for-1. Let me get this quick, bam, bam. I go back to my room, get something good to eat. You know what I'm saying?
We keep bringing up Milwaukee. Grayson's in Milwaukee. Yeah. Bobby's in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
We know the biggest star in Milwaukee, to be honest. I'm thinking from a business standpoint, if I'm the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
If I've seen the work that you've done with Bobby, and I've seen what you've done with Grayson, and I know the one thing that's stopping this guy from potentially being, I mean, he's probably top three in the league now, is his jump shot.
Yeah.
Is the three-point shot.
Yeah.
Why are we not reaching out?
Yeah, well, the good thing about life is, you know, if they're not reaching out, if they are reaching out, when the time does come, I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, you have to wait on others. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm prepared to take on any task. I'm prepared to take on anybody. Anybody that you name.
How big is the lethal shooter notebook on Giannis?
It's not really that big. You know what I mean? It's not really that much. You know what I mean? It's just the repetitions that's needed. You know, a good example, once again, let's use Grayson and Cole. Do they both jump high?
Oh, no.
What?
No.
Jump high.
No, Cole does.
Oh, Cole.
Grayson Allen don't jump high?
And Duke, he used to have some.
What?
He still got those?
Bro, come on, y'all.
Is he known as a dunker?
Bro, Grayson, Google right now.
No, he got bounce.
He has a quick twitch.
Okay.
So the thing is, with people with quick twitch is like Cole Anthony, Grayson, Russell Westbrook. Who else?
Who
we know Giannis.
Bounced?
We're talking about him.
Donovan Mitchell is another one.
Donovan Mitchell does a good job of calming it down, though.
Yeah.
So it's just different things that people with quick twitches have to learn how to shoot the basketball. So people like Giannis and different people of the nature, it's not hard for me to teach them. I feel like anybody that's shooting the basketball can learn how to properly shoot the basketball.
So I want to ask you this. I used to use this machine called the gun.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, like technology? Do you use that? And your training?
Nah, I mean, I don't knock it, though.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I prefer how I grew up. Pass me the ball, I pass my client the ball. You know what I mean? Because that stimulation is real. You know what I mean? And not saying don't use a gun, don't buy a gun. But when you're using a shooting gun, it's not the same as somebody passing you the ball. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I prefer somebody passing you the ball.
The next question is, we went to Toronto. And we played at the OVO's Raptors Center.
We did.
So shout out to the Raptors. They had this thing they were showing us where it was like AI on the board and it tracks
the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You familiar with this?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
How you use that or how do you feel about that?
Nah, like it's just too much. You know what I mean? Like, it shows
the arc of the ball. Yeah, it's almost like 2K when it's like.
But the thing I'm trying to say is like, not saying it's not true, but when Steph Curry's making all these shots, you know what I mean? Yes, the arc might be the same a little bit of ways, but once you start getting all that technical, you got people overthinking for no reason. You know, just shoot the damn ball, bro. Yeah. We don't need all that. It was green. Oh, let me do it again. Like, just shoot the ball. You know what I mean? Not saying in today's world we shouldn't evolve and do different things to stimulate these players, but me personally, if I'm training, I don't need all that stuff going on, if that makes sense.
Is it skill set versus mindset in shooting?
I think it's mindset. You know what I mean? I feel like anything that somebody does that's great is mindset. You know what I mean? Not saying Tiger Woods isn't the greatest golfer potentially of all time, but he's the greatest golfer of all time because of his mental. And if you got a weak mind and you fold fast, you're not going to be good at nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's weird because you'll see great shooters and they'll get to the free throw line and they'll shoot like 70%.
Yeah, I did that. So in college, I was number one in the conference in threes made, but I was like 30th in free throws. You get what I'm saying? Because I didn't master understanding how to master that area in my game. And that's why I'm able to teach the way I teach, because it was certain things that I didn't master here because I was feeding that on the court. And that's why with my clients, I'm able to teach them the whole master of the craft with the art of shooting.
When I used to shoot, maybe it was mental, but I always felt when I lift weights, like when I did shoulders,
right,
it just made me a much better shooter.
Hmm.
When I did a shoulder
not a
workout.
Not according to Lethal.
That's weird. Not a great shooter. Yeah, I'm surprised. So you would lift and then go play?
Yeah. Or workout. Yeah.
So
I didn't play a game.
But okay.
Workouts. But whenever I was like in a shooting slump, I would do shoulder press.
Well, it sounds like when you feel like you're strong, it gives you confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, no disrespect.
That's a mindset.
So it's a mindset. It's like me. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. Like, if I don't got a nice haircut, like, this is some weird stuff. Like, if I don't got a nice haircut and the way my shoes need to be, I can't break world records and do the stuff I do, if that makes sense. What's your thing?
It depends on what we're talking about.
Basketball.
I stopped playing basketball in high school.
Okay. Every hooper has that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, was it Karl Malone or Chris Webber? One of them used to lift crazy hard before games.
I think Karl Malone.
Yeah. But look how soft his mid-range jump. But that was that mental you talking about.
Sweet.
But me, my clients don't lift before no game. You get what I'm saying? That's just, nah.
Well, do you think lifting plays a part in shooting at all?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
That's why you look at the biggest athletes now. They don't lift crazy strong weights. They do bands and they do light weights with a lot of reps. You get what I'm saying? That's why it'd be so funny when you see these kids now, they young and their parents be having them lifting all these weights. Like, you, number one, people, that's not going to stunt their growth. Yes, it is. Kevin Durant wasn't lifting no weights.
That's the age old debate. So you're saying that lifting weights does.
Bands and light. Yeah.
All right. Once again, going back to the IMG thing.
Right.
Because that's the first time I really got a chance to really get into training. And they had us lifting weights.
Like, how old were you?
I was like 18.
You're 18, bro. You're a grown man.
No. But I'm saying, like, even Kevin Durant doesn't lift weights. Like, some people say, like, there's no need to lift weights at all.
No. So Kevin Durant is seven foot. He's going to get to wherever he want to get. Yeah. But the thing I'm saying is, at your age, at your height and my height, we shouldn't have lift weights into the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Everything should be bands, running hills in the grass.
When you say in bands, this is just like coming from like kinesiology. When people lift, like a Kevin Durant, he's doing it for muscular endurance.
Yes.
Right, not muscular strength.
Whereas we
lift weights, it's like, I want to get bigger, I want to get stronger. But you really just want to have those muscles have endurance. So
exactly.
Step and have that fast switch go back.
I think it depends on what kind of player you are. If you're more of a
Carlos Boozer.
Yeah.
He has to lift weights.
He's a bully because he's a bully.
Of what he's going to be doing in the game.
Exactly.
But even like Russ, we saw him get muscular.
Right.
But he still has the endurance.
Or like Braun. Braun.
That's good.
Braun is physically.
But does he lift strong weights?
He doesn't lift strong weights.
No.
Nah,
because he's natural. Endurance. He's also natural.
Okay, let's use somebody else then.
Who else is? You can use Greek.
Let's use Yana. You think he's in there lifting strong weight? No.
But he did put on some.
Body mass and food.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So the thing I'm saying is, you do bands and then you do light weights with a lot of reps.
Because
the thing is, if you go too heavy, bro, you'll break stuff off and that's when you start getting hurt injuries. A lot.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And that's what, all right, let's do Dwight, because I got to Dwight.
Dwight?
The first time I got to Dwight, what are these called again?
The pecs?
The pecs.
Yeah.
Bro, he was humongous, bro. Trapex.
Deltoids.
None of us know what we're talking about right now.
Trapezius. Deltoids up here.
We don't know what we're talking about right now, guys. But whatever these are.
The wife has big deltoids. Okay. Pause, and then
ain't nothing wrong with that. So listen.
Yeah.
When I first met him, he was like Megatron, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I went to his weight coach. I said, respectfully, can we drop all of that, make him smaller, but make him stronger, if that makes sense?
Yep.
Bro, we made him stronger, and we dropped all of the strength. So if you look at the white body right now, even after the Hawks, even for the Lakers, he look how?
More slim.
He's slimmed down.
Now, was he still strong as a motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Faster. Jumping higher.
That's after injury.
Of course not jumping at Orlando, Dwight. That was different. He was young. He was straight out of high school. Now, older, he's still getting up. Because they shrunk and they stopped lifting all that crazy stuff and minimized it to bands and doing different things. And the air matters too. Like when you train like high-end athletes, you want to train them in places where it's low oxygen. You get what I'm saying?
So go to Denver.
You got to do that. Place like Montana and different places like that. That's what I do. Like if you're really serious, like and heat. So like with Bobby, sometimes like we'll do stuff outside. Like you want to do certain stuff. Don't make it comfortable for them. You want them to make.
I used to go to school in Hawaii, and
he just gave you his entire scholastic career.
Yeah, because
everything he's saying
elementary school, you know.
I'm waiting for the same with the Woodlands. We all
everything he's saying is. But now that's when Yeah, we used to play in the gym, and it was no air conditioning. Perfect. It was like 90 degrees. And,
perfect.
And you just your shirt is just soaked.
Perfect.
But that's the vibe that you need. Exactly. Even in New York, during the summertime, you play outside, it's 90 degrees outside. Like, that's how I always liked it better.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I feel like you get the most out of it.
Exactly. I don't like training my clients in gyms with AC. Man, cut that off.
Entitlement.
Yeah, man, cut that off, man.
Like a boxer.
I'm serious, bro. Yeah, yeah. Like this last summer when I was training Sabonis, I probably ripped this shirt like four times. Yeah, it's me and you. Me and you up in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
And he's an all-star.
Yeah, he's an all-star, man. It's a blessing.
How many shooting records do you have? Right? Because I know you made 23 out of 25, which is the world record.
Yeah.
I feel like 25.
20 in a row was a world record. That was extremely hard.
Are we going for 25 out of 25?
Oh, yeah. I started that in a month and a half. That's going to be pretty easy.
25 threes?
So in the 3-point contest, seconds. You get the five balls at each rack. Yep. Five rack. So you
nobody's ever
them. Nobody's it. Craig Hodges
at 21.
21.
Yeah, nobody's ever did 20 in a row. Nobody's. I've done 23 like 14 times. Easy. Yeah, but you remember, I wouldn't say easy. I think people get it misconstrued.
Yeah.
This type of concentration is like you're staring at something and you can only blink twice. Like it's like the stuff that you have to do to get these type of things done is that's why Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Rip Hamilton, Allen Houston, as soon as I did that, all of them reached out to me, bro.
Yeah.
All of them. Because, like, people see it online. Oh, yeah, lethal. There you go again. But they don't know, like, bro, this is extremely hard. But, like I said, I had Craig Hodges explaining small things to me, explaining different things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I had to go out there and shoot it, if that makes sense. So I'm trying to do 25 for Red Bull. They gave me that task. I'm going
to
do it.
They got you going to Tokyo.
They got me going to Tokyo.
You are going to face a robot.
Yep.
And shooting?
Yeah.
You know they got that robot that just shoots?
Yeah.
It's perfect form and it makes shots?
Yeah.
So you're going to face this robot.
Yep.
You're gonna get 25 shots. They're getting 25. Yeah.
We're not doing running racks. We're gonna play a game of horse.
Okay.
And the upside that the robot does have that, like, from half court, it can shoot regular. So my half court shot is like a.
Gonna be pushing.
It's like, I wouldn't even say a push. It's like a push shot because I could make, bro. I don't know if y'all seen on my page. I could make like 8 in a row from half court, easy. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing it has.
It shoots like that.
Yeah, yeah, lock, boop, and it'll go in. So I'm excited because this is something that I thought about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Red Bull did a good job of making a dream reality. And I'm gonna make sure I take care of mankind, man.
You gotta represent for us.
I'm gonna represent, man. We can't let the robot win.
What is the most important part about shooting? Is it your legs? Is it your form? Is it your follow through? Mm-hmm. What's the most important, outside of the mental? I know mental.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the most mechanical important part of shooting?
I say your footwork.
Footwork?
You know what I mean?
Feet should be pointed to the basket?
I don't even say it have to be straight pointed to the basket like Klay Thompson, but if you don't have good footwork, you're not going to be a great shooter. You know what I mean? That's like in any sport, hockey, whatever. Like, you got to have soccer, you got to have great footwork. Everything you do in life always starts with the foundation. Boxers. You get what I'm saying? So if you want to be a great shooter, make sure as much as you want to shoot the basketball, you take time to master your feet as well.
Yeah, listen, man. I'm going to tell you something. Shai isn't giving you his whole scholastic career.
Yeah.
We going to the All-Star game next year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we playing in a celebrity
game. Oh, y'all going to play in it?
Well, we're going to get him in there.
Me and Jada Kiss, we got a thing.
We're going to get him in there.
Yeah. Okay.
We're campaigning.
When we went to Toronto, I'm used to seeing him make a lot of shots.
Okay.
I'm used to seeing, like, we grew up watching him play.
Yeah.
His form is a little bit off.
Okay.
It wasn't so much my form was off. I'm not used to an NBA court.
It's a far three.
Exactly.
But you got me now. He got me now. You got me now. Yeah.
Because when we saw you last year in Utah, I was like, all right, this is not the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not playing this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But next year he's gonna be playing.
I got you.
We gotta show you right.
He got you.
Right.
He can't make you look bad out there.
Nah. I see what you did. Were you working with Alex Toussaint, the dude from Peloton?
Chris trained him, and then I had to train him twice for the NBA. He's a great listener, golly, and a great learner.
So you won MVP twice. I feel like this is something that can happen.
Yeah, if you're a good listener, bro, and
very coachable.
And you want, that's what I'm about to say. And you, I got you.
Appreciate
it. It is.
Before we finish, I got to ask you a couple basketball questions. Your top five DC players. Well, who's your favorite DC player? Let's just say that.
I got somebody I'm thinking, but you said
So I did this before about a few weeks ago, but I'll say that my favorite player ever to come from DC, you know what I mean? only I'll say he don't get enough credit because how social media is, but I really think it's Kevin Durant.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's Kevin Durant.
Oh
yeah, yeah,
well, you got four more.
Well, mine is
KD. I want to hear what he's gonna say. The because there's a guy that I watched growing up. Yeah, he's from that area with the DeMatha.
Yeah,
well, KD technically is from Maryland.
He's Maryland.
Yeah,
well, I know it's all DMV.
Well, DC does it. It's like it's not really enough. It's DMV. Like it's like
PG County.
PG County, DC. You
because
know what I mean?
DC had a lot of great high school, like the Catholic School League in DC. At one point, my favorite player of all time from DC is Victor Page.
Victor, he grew up in one of my old neighborhoods.
Yeah, Victor Page, I just felt like...
That wasn't the name I was going to say.
Yeah,
That Georgetown backcourt with him and Iverson.
Man.
And he was, and then when Iverson left, he was averaging like 26 points. Like, he was killing.
But that's another prime example of our area, man. Like, Victor is a reason why I go as hard as I go because, you know, as brothers... We one bad decision away from being all the way back at square zero. You know what I mean? And he's that left hand silky, you know. I mean, he told AI to cross over. You feel me? Like this dude, Victor is a neighborhood superstar, but the world don't know about him because of the decisions that he made. You know what I mean? And he's one of those people when I was growing up, man, I wanted to be like Victor Page. You know what I mean? Like he's one of those guys that like, but that's that grit we talking about, that DMV grit, that killer mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just man, I just pray the world could have saw somebody like him, man.
He's in your top five?
I wouldn't say he's in my top five.
Who else? Who you got?
I'll say like Len Bias. And remember, you to be up there, you got to be a winner as well.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the DMV area that has won more accolades than Quinn Cook. You know what I mean? He does not get the benefit of the doubt that he's supposed to
National
get.
National champion, NBA champion.
Bruh, he won an Olympic medal in high school, 18, high school championship. He won in college. He won NBA. I mean, this dude, nobody is like.
Quinn Cook, that's a good
one. Come on, man. So it's so many greats. I don't want to list them all.
What's the kid about the Kentucky Bogans?
Keith Bogans.
And the other one went to North Carolina.
I was thinking Joe Forte.
So these are guys.
Joe Forte was just so skilled, bro.
They went to Catholic schools.
See, people don't know about Joe Forte, though. Joe Forte was like our, you talking about fundamental. He was like, he was built like, who was he built like? Him and Keith was built the same. Keith Bogans was strong, no fat. But that's where you got to be, like New York, like DMV and New York. We both have the same pedigree. We not about to back down. You got to kill us. We not backing down.
Yeah.
So, but the people you're naming is just. But people knew what Keith was because Keith was able to hold. He did a good job of playing in the NBA.
Yeah, he went to Kentucky.
And went to Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, Joe went to North Carolina, but nothing happened after that.
Yeah. That's makes sense. What is Ronald Curry?
I don't know if it was
He's from Maryland, though.
No, he's from DMV.
Oh, he's from DMV?
Yeah.
But he was number one football player and number one basketball
player. No, you talking about Peppers.
That's not Julius Peppers.
You talking about Julius Peppers.
Now, Ronald Curry,
Ronald Curry from D.C.?
He was the number one football player in the country, number one basketball player in the country. Went to North Carolina.
Got
to
Google that.
You might want to pull that.
All right, one more. This one is a top five question, and the top three is easy, but the top two, the other two is interesting. Shooters of all time.
Oof.
Top five?
Top five shooters
of all time. This is easy. So I say Steph at number one. People hate when I say this, but this is the truth. Yeah, I mean, Klay Thompson, bro.
At number two?
Yeah. Klay, like this
ahead of Reggie Miller.
This dude scores 60 points in off 12 dribbles.
He's dangerous.
And this is what people understand, too. When I don't say Reggie or don't say those different guys, it's not that they're not better than Klay and Steph. It's just the way the game evolved. So if Reggie played in today's era, how they're slinging threes and doing, if Ray played in this era slinging threes, they'll tear both of those guys. But nobody will ever tear Steph Curry. Why? Because Ray and Reggie, they can't shoot off the dribble like Steph Curry. But the thing is, Steph, like you can't like shoot off the dribble. Steph Curry's one. He's considered the best shooter of all time. When I say Klay, Reggie, Ray, they're all in that same rim, if that makes sense. You get where I'm coming from? I think the best mid-range shooter of all time, I'm not saying this because I know him, but I really truly think it's Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant, you can't stop him in the mid-range. You know what I mean? Larry Bird, how his mid-range jump shot was. But Larry Bird was very skilled. Larry Bird was next level, but it's the times that have changed. Larry Bird's skill level in the mid was different than Kevin because Kevin had an advanced skill set because of how our times are. Mm-hmm. So if we take Kevin and take him to the 80s to play in that era, he's going to be doing stuff and they're going to be like, what the hell? But if you bring Larry Bird to this era and he works out with these people now, he's doing what Kevin's doing. I don't know, because Larry Bird's body was thicker. Larry Bird was...
Not athletic, though.
He wasn't athletic because back then they weren't doing what they doing now with the body, if that makes sense. You get where I'm coming from? Like when we do these comparisons, it's kind of... It's tough because certain things were being deprived. You get what I'm saying?
Toa, you got one more. So you got Steph Curry, you got Clay,
KD,
which is Golden State. That's crazy.
Right, that's
and
Golden
then
State.
You got Larry Bird. And you got one more.
Okay, you got one.
Craig Hodges.
Craig Hodges.
I think Craig Hodges didn't get a chance.
Legend.
He got, you know, this guy won the 3-point contest back to back, bro. This dude was the best shooter ever in Chicago history, bro.
And Larry beat him when he...
And it's interesting how you judge, because it's like, most people will say, okay, Ray Allen, and then also Ray Allen and Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf technically is the best. He's one of the best shooters of all time.
He is considered one of the best. He is, for sure.
Foul shooter, best ever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So will you put Dame in there?
Who?
Dame,
right now? Dame Lillard?
Lillard?
One of the best shooters.
Yeah. Ever?
He's not in the conversation? You don't think?
No.
I don't think he's one of the best
shooters? No disrespect. Dame's a legend, but ever?
Yeah, I think so. What do you think?
Why would you?
The range, where he can, I mean, he has mid-range, go beyond 25, 30 feet.
Tough.
What'd you say?
You got Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk is ill.
He's up there.
We got to say Dirk. But don't get it messed up right now in today's NBA. I think Dame is today's. I mean,
he's legendary.
He's top five.
There goes Ronald Curry, by the way.
Oh, that's Hampton. That's not considered DMV.
DMV.
It's Hampton.
He's not wrong though. But Hampton. No disrespect to Hampton out there. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's deep.
That's deep.
That's like us trying to claim Allen Iverson. We can't. We would love to.
Yeah, Newport News.
We would love to say, hey, I was from the DMV, bro. I would love to take that type of claim.
So what advice would you give for trainers? I know there's a lot of trainers I know a lot of trainers personally, trying to get over the hump. You know what I mean? Working with kids. They have a passion for basketball, but haven't figured it out how to like really monetize it, how to really, you know, what advice would you give for trainers that are looking at you as a role model?
Man, just keep going. You know what I mean? It's going to be tough. You know, you're going to have people that don't want to pay sometimes. You're going to have people that are going to want to underpay how great your work is, but just keep going, man, because the one thing when you're a good trainer, people see results, the your name gets to start ringing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where I was. I was like, man, this is tough, but you just got to keep going. And most importantly, man, make sure you're getting your rest as well. I got to do better at getting my rest, because when you're a trainer, it's like being a pastor, because you're serving other people. Mm. You know what I mean? So make sure your mental is right as well, because if your mental isn't right, how can you serve other people and give them the type of energy and knowledge they need if you're off, if that makes sense? You know what I mean? And understand that every player isn't the same. You know, you can't train everybody the same. Make sure you're taking the time to get to know your client. Make sure you're getting the time to know what helps this person, what doesn't help this person, so you continue to help them go in the right direction. And watch a lot of film on your client if they're older. You know what I mean? Make sure you study that person, so you're in the gym, you're actually helping them on things that they really need to get help with.
Last thing I got, man, I mean, the life in basketball, the rise of Lee the Shooter, when people go to see this, what are they going to get from it?
Just basically, like, you know, if I can make it, anybody can make it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, like what people don't know is, like, you know, I didn't grow up with my biological parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was younger, I was getting passed from house to house. You know what I mean? These are things that people don't know about me, but that's what made me who I am today. You know what I mean? And I don't hold it against my biological parents, what happened to me. But if that type of stuff didn't happen, I probably wouldn't be sitting here with you guys right now. A lot of people don't know, you know, rest in peace, my biological father, he just OD'd. You get what I'm saying? So it's just everybody that's facing their back against the wall or stuff is not working out for them. If you be consistent in life, bro, anything is possible, you know? And then success don't always mean the big house or the Bentley or living in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Success is just you being happy and living your life the way you want to live your life. You know what I mean? So just the last thing you can never do is give up. So when you watch this documentary, it's just going to show you somebody that never gave up through all of the mistakes, through all the failures, through just like having all the odds against me. You know what I mean? I was able to be one of the ones to come out to tell my story.
Follow you with some announcements, Anything else you want to tell the people before we wrap?
Just basically, my social is Lethal Shooter on Instagram. I have YouTube and Twitter and Facebook as well. Like you said, my documentary comes out on Tuesday. It's a lot of big things coming out. I got some special projects coming out with Nike and Jordan Brand and NBA 2K and Red Bull. We're doing some special stuff, so definitely look out for those. And I want to say thank you to you guys for having me on here.
Appreciate you coming,
and it means a lot, you know, especially with the New York culture, because New York, like I said before, man, it definitely molded me. You know, when I was playing overseas, I wouldn't have broke the records that I broke if it wasn't for my one of my teammates. His name's Clink Scales. And when I was playing overseas, one time he came down court and he had a wide open layup, but he threw it back to me like that. And I made the shot and Coach Craig was like, God damn it. Oh, okay. Good shot. But I knew how to already play with New York guards because of Jesse. Yeah. So the one thing that I learned playing with New York guards as a shooter, just always be ready or you're going to get your nose broken. You know what I mean? So I know how many people you guys could probably have on this show and to have me, man. It means a lot, man.
Nah, well, good, man. Keep pushing the culture forward.
Yep.
And I advise anybody, no matter what you're doing, follow this guy and look what he's doing on social media. The marketing is extremely important for any line of work, especially if you're a trainer. Yep. So thank you for coming. And we're going to get a couple training sessions in.
For sure.
Yeah,
yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah, I'm
serious. Yeah. But if you're trying to make that NBA All-Star for the celebrity one, like, you might have to put something out now. Don't try to wait like a month in advance.
They make picks early.
We're working on it.
Yes. Right. Where's it at next year? Minnesota? Something like that? Minneapolis? It's like one of these places.
Google that one.
I hope it's not.
I think it's Naptown.
But I think it is the same as like Utah. I mean, we love Utah.
It's in Indiana.
But that's the loser state.
Indianapolis.
That's a good one.
All right. We're in Naptown. We're on our way, man. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.